We oftentimes ask ourselves whether we should stay in our learning situation or whether we should go, whether we are ready to go off on our own, whether we're ready to go and apply it in our world, or whether we're going to apply it at school. Now, all of us know that school has a termination. You go to elementary school, you go to grade school, you go to high school, you go to college, you go to graduate school, you go to special schools, and what do you do when you go to these schools? This is Herb Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. What do you do in these schools? Are we staying or are we going? Some people are perpetual students. They're always reading, they're always learning, they're always studying, they're always learning these new things, and they, oh boy, and they speak many languages, but they've never been to those countries. what are you doing? What are each of you doing? What are you doing with your life? Are you going to school and learning something and then saying, good, I now can read a book in German, and good, I can now read a book in French or Italian, and how wonderful that is, but who cares? What is your nationality? Your nationality is Swiss, and your language is Switzerdeutsch or German, you know, and English. Okay, now, when you come to American-speaking situations, you speak English, and you feel very comfortable in it, don't you? You feel very comfortable when you speak English. But if you don't learn it, if you don't apply yourself, see, now, Rosalie does not want to speak English. If Rosalie wanted to speak English, she would stay in her English school. She would stay with her English tutor. She would practice English. Now, does Pablo speak English? Okay, does Gabriela speak English? Yes. Does Ursula speak English? Yes. Does Thomas speak English? Does Philip speak English? Okay, now, all of your kids could speak English with you and work with you in speaking. Whenever you see them, you say, hi, Pablo, how you doing? He said, I am doing fine. And say, hi, Gabriela, what's new in your world? And Gabriela says, Mom, if I start telling you what's new in my world, it's going to take an hour. You ready? Pour a cup of coffee. We'll sit down and talk about it. But that's good, you see. And then the more they talk to you in English, the more you learn to think in English. And as you learn to think in English, pretty soon you're talking up a storm, and then you're polishing it. But don't forget, they went to England to learn English. They went to special schools, and they had special training, and they had motivation for it that you didn't have. And part of their motivation was to pass the test. Now, do you want to take a test in English and pass the test? If you do, then you will practice. And you'll practice with your four kids and your grandchildren. You'll practice with your people that you meet. You'll go to your instructor or have your instructor come to your house and talk to you and show you what the language is. English. And pretty soon, it'll be a natural for you. Gertrude Suter learned it. You know, she had no interest in learning it, but then all of a sudden she found an interest in learning it. And Katrina, she learned English beautifully, you know, and she's out in New Zealand now, talking her head off in New Zealand, you know, no longer really English, you know. She's not an Aussie, that's Australia.
A Kiwi. She's a Kiwi.
She was a Kiwi. So she's a Kiwi. Well, she really isn't a Kiwi. A Kiwi is one of the big, beautiful fruits, you know. But she's a Kiwi, which means speaking the language down there. Now, why does Katerina bother to speak the language in New Zealand? She wants to belong. She finds it charming. She finds it delightful. She finds it interesting to speak like they speak. And the more she understands it, the better she understands what they're saying. Now, are you ready to go? Or do you want to stay and work on whatever you're working on? Now, if you're going to stay and work on whatever you're working on, if you're going to continue on in the university at the college level of taking a course in physics, you know, and so you're going to take a course in physics at the university, you're going to have to buy the physics books. and you're going to have to read the physics books, and you're going to have to practice what the course teaches, because if you don't practice it, you won't learn it. So you take any course you take, you practice it and practice it and practice it. You are ready to leave the university when you have practiced it, but 90% of the students leave the university before they have learned to practice it. They go out in the world, and the world just isn't ready for them. But 10% are really gung-ho. 10% are really applying what they're learning. 10% are really enjoying what they're doing. They're being the entrepreneurs. They're being the geniuses. They're being the billionaires of our day. Not because they learned it in school, but because they practiced it. They practiced the art that they wanted to have make them whole. Now, you watched What the Bleep Do We Care the other night. And as you watched What the Bleep Do We Care, you saw this priest who was talking about God and who was talking about how the church has missed the boat on saying what God is, as far as he was concerned. He had a different definition of God than the Catholic Church had, and yet he was a Catholic priest. And many other people have a different definition of what God is, because the church teaches them that God is a loving father. God is a loving being. God is human. God is not human. If God ever were human, we wouldn't need a God, because then we're all God as we are. But if God were human, then we would have nothing to aspire to. We aspire to our divinity, to our highest and best possibility for all of us. And when you go to school, you aspire to the best that the course has to offer. You don't say, I could name some names, but I won't name them right now. But there were people in my world that I knew about who had children who were in school. And the children were in school, and the children were not doing well in school. And so they went to the school, and they talked to the teacher, and the teacher was not simpatico. And so they took their children out of that school and put them in a different school. And they went to a different school, and the mother said, now, you're going to this different school. The teachers in this different school are fantastic. The teachers in this different school are wonderful. The teachers in this different school are so super, so fantastic, so glorious, so magnificent. And the kids went to that school, and their teachers were great. Their teachers were wonderful. All of a sudden, their teachers learned how to teach. They learned how to be a student by praising their teachers. And naturally, like their mother, like their father, they were geniuses. And they got top score. Before that, they put the teacher down. Before that, they didn't believe in the school system. Before that, and naturally, they couldn't learn anything. But the minute they changed schools, and then they had a different attitude. And I told the mother and the father, I said, now, this can happen again. If they ever feel disrespect for themselves and for their teacher, they will not learn, and schooling will be difficult. Teach them respect for themselves and respect for their teacher, respect for the program that they're learning, and then they'll learn it beautifully. Now, as for yourself, here you are on the campus of the University of Healing, on this treasure house of peace, of love, of joy. I am always sticking pins in everybody. I stick pins in Sylvia and Anita and in each of you. And I stick pins in you, not because I want to hurt you, but because I want you to be untouched. Well, Herb, that hurt. Well, if you're untouched, it won't hurt. We teach untouchability, one-pointedness, unpossessed, non-judgmental. We teach that stuff, but people don't want to learn it because it's no fun. Shakespeare said, hath not a Jew sensitivity? Does he not bleed when you prick him? And things like that. You see, that's human. Now, I say to you, if you ever pricked God with a pin, would he bleed? God doesn't have a human body. God may have a semblance of being something we can understand, but he doesn't have a human body. We aspire to that divinity. We aspire to the highest and best. So now, when you're here on campus, you walk these paths. You don't walk these paths thinking of the stones that you're picking up. You're walking this path thinking of how you keep the path so clear and so beautiful. The path is always free of, not free of everything, but the path is always wonderful to walk. And when you see a weed on the path, you pick it, not because the weed is bad, but because you are creating your path without weeds. You're creating your path smooth and wonderful to walk in every way. And that's what you're doing here at the University of Healing. And that's what this ground, these 104 acres are. They're so perfect. Now, Sylvia said, we used to walk up there and we used to do this. Yeah, but the last time she walked up there was a number of years ago. And in between time, what happened? Mother Nature said, nobody's using this path. I think we'll cover it over with weeds. We'll put bushes and trees here. And Sylvia goes up there, where's my path? Well, she hasn't been taking care of it. Now, if she would go up there again every single day, walk up that path, pull out a few little weeds, she'd have a lovely path in no time. When you go across the Himalayan mountains, how many of you have been to the Himalayan mountains? When you go across the paths of the Himalayan mountains, you see these little pathways going around the edges of the mountains with great divides going down below. Who did that? 1, 2, 3 thousand people walking one at a time, maybe 10 in a year along that path, and then a few little cows and goats and sheep and so forth walking along that path. They made that path into a lovely path. Now, did they leave the stones there so they stubbed their toe on them? No, they pushed them aside. Did they do that with shovels and with a tractor and stuff like that? No, they did it by hand, lovingly, gently. And this is how you can accomplish great and wonderful things, lovingly and gently, step by step, saying, I am divine. I like me. All is in divine order. Now, this is what you want to learn while you're here. This is what you want to practice while you're here. And then when you go home, it's just a smooth slide putting that into practice at home. Shut up of the past. Shut up of the future. Talk now. Now. You're not talking about the past because that's over with. Whatever the past was, it is no longer yours unless you make it yours by repeating it again and again. Why do little children know about incidents of their childhood? Because their parents told them about it. If the child had been left alone, they would have forgotten it as it did. Now, I hit your finger with a hammer. You're, ouch! Well, given a couple of days, it heals up and back to normal again. And didn't you hit your finger with a hammer? When? Well, like the other day when I did it. Oh, I guess so. You remember what I tell you to remember. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you want to remember? You remember, I like me. You remember, I'm God. You remember, I am whole and perfect. You remember, I am happy. I am so happy with life, with everything, because that's me. What do you remember? Whatever you tell yourself to remember. Now, what do you think of the future? Whatever you want to imagine yourself. But you are so busy in the now. You haven't got time for the past or future. You don't have time to worry about what people thought about you and what people said about you or what people are going to say about you after you're gone. You know, are they going to say, oh, Jack Kennedy, oh, you were a great president, oh, you were this, oh, you were a woman chaser, oh, you were sleeping in different beds every night and so forth while you're being president. Oh, my God, what a wonderful thing to remember. How fantastic. Well, was he one of our mentally sound business presidents? Very good. Yeah. Did he have some faults about him? Everybody does, don't they? Mm-hmm. Are we going to keep holding those against him? No. Pretty soon, you don't remember. But history books help you remember all the garbage. What we want to do, I want you and me and everybody in my world to look at your life today and say, I am wonderful. I am beautiful. I am glorious. I am a very happy person. I have ideal complexion. That's a nice thing to say, isn't it? I have an ideal face. I have an ideal home. I have an ideal everything. You see, now as you do that, that becomes your reality. But if you don't concentrate on the truth about yourself, you won't express it. Because you'll be concentrating on something that's not truth of yourself. And then that you'll be expressing. And if that's what you want, go for it. If that's not what you want, then let it alone. We don't honor birthday parties here. Birthday parties are not honored at the University of Healing. we honor the person. And we honor the person, and we're saying, I'm so glad you were born. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad we're in your world. But we don't say, hooray, I'm now 78, 79, I'm now 108. My sister, tomorrow, is, I guess it is, whatever, it doesn't matter. And please don't correct me. Yeah, that's not very nice when you correct another person. But tomorrow my sister will be 89 years old. And I say, Marie, you're not 89. I remember you as 25, and you'll always be 25 in my heart and my life. That's the way I think about you. A young spring chicken dancing around, going here and there and doing all the things you're involved in. You're such a vital, dynamic lady. I don't see you as a crotchety old 89-year-old, which she's not. She's vital, dynamic, in my heart, in my life, in my world. See? So she doesn't have an 89th birthday. She has a 25th birthday. Again and again and again and again and again. And I do too. And perhaps the rest of you do too. But it's up to you. But don't anticipate birthday parties. Because every birthday cake that we have, truly, we should have what? Maybe 25 candles on it? Or one candle?
One.
One candle.
One is new.
We're just born that day, that moment, new. One candle. And that's our birthday cake. You see, we start early in life by saying, I'm 2 3/4 years old. I'm 5 1/8 years old. Yeah, I learned the fractions that way. But I'm 5 1/2 years old, you know. I'm almost 6, you know. Or, you know, we play the game that's important. This is your birthday. This is the day you're born in my heart, in my soul, in my life, as this new person you are today, and how wonderful that is. So you make up your mind. You decide what values you're getting, and are you willing to dedicate yourself 100% to playing here on campus and revealing to yourself your divinity? Or are you going to be distracted by the border, distracted by the dress shops in town, distracted by the foods that are available, that it's only health foods and it's only foods that are organically grown and so on? That's a lot of garbage. Everything is organically grown. Everything is beautiful. Everything, anything you put in your mouth, anything you put in your face, anything you put on your body is perfect. And if it's not perfect, why are you putting it there? Why are you putting anything that's not perfect in on your body? Why? In your mind. In your mind. See, this is our privilege to live divine right now. And when you just say, I like me, I like me, you could not do one single thing that would be negative to your body. You could not do one single thing that was negative to your world. You could not do one single thing that was not of your highest and best, when you say, I like me, 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 I like me. And you don't do it. I know. I'm inside of you. I know you. I know you too. You're always complaining. Oh, damn it. Why does she have that boyfriend that I don't like? Why does she do that? Stop it. That's none of your business. Your business is, she has the boyfriends that I like. She always is surrounded by boyfriends that I like. She is always surrounded by boyfriends that I think are wonderful. The nicest thing would be to say she is surrounded by boyfriends that she loves, that she likes, and that she wants. You hear me? Do you hear me? If you don't, you should listen to this again. But really, that's what it's all about. Do you understand? Now, stop that moping look on your face. You look like, oh, goodness sake. Stop it. Smile. That's better. Now, we all can do that, you know. And see how easy that was? Going from the one mood to another? We can do it. And you guys are wonderful. But when you leave here, today, tomorrow, the next year, 10 years from now, when you leave here, you're going to take the same beautiful person with you that you created here. And if you didn't do a very good job, then you got an opportunity to do it wherever you are. But just remember, you're God, you're wonderful, you're divine, you're fantastic, and right now, you're ready to spring into life, 1 year old. So tomorrow, we're having a birthday party for Princess, or Monk, or Sylvia is her name, yeah. And she's going to have a cake with one candle on it. And then we're each going to get a piece of that cake, even if we eat it or we don't eat it. And on our piece, it's going to be one candle for us. So each one of us will be celebrating our birthday while we celebrate her birthday, because each one of us is born anew tomorrow and today and every moment of our life. You're wonderful. You're fantastic. And for 20 minutes, you listened to me say that. And isn't it wonderful? I love you. I love you. Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!